Welcome out there to another awesome episode of the Album Argument Podcast. I'm Ryan.
I'm Jeremy.
And we are so glad to have you with us today as we discuss a really cool band and a really cool album, in my opinion. Yes, this is my pick. I gave it to Jay, and his job is to pick the best and worst song on Biffy Clyro's Puzzle.
Yeah. Biffy Clyro. I admit, I've never heard of Biffy Clyro.
Biffy Clyro. First off, that's a pretty interesting name, right?
Yeah, very, very spiffy, Biffy.
Spiffy, Biffy. You want to know what it stands for?
Sure.
I don't know, and neither do they. It's just, there it is.
There. It's not, I know we did Biff Naked recently.
Yeah, Biff Naked.
Yep. And that was because her name was Beth.
Beth, and then she could only say Biff.
So this has nothing to do with somebody's name?
Nope.
One of the singer's name?
Okay. Nope.
Just wondering.
No, it just, I don't, you know, they said that they don't, I don't even think they know where it came from, but they gave a bunch of random, like, responses when interviews, and they're like, hey, where'd you get your name from? They're like, oh, it was named after this soccer player, or, oh, it's named after this one thing. You know, they just kind of got bored with making stuff up. And they're like, we don't even know. It's just the name. They were originally known as Screwfish.
I think they made a good decision. Go with Biffy.
Yeah, I would agree. Biffy is at least, you know, kind of crazy, original. And it spawns the phrase, Mon the Biff, that fans like to chant in between songs and their concerts, you know, which is really, really cool. By the way, I know I haven't talked about them a whole lot yet, but if you get a chance to ever see any footage of Biffy Clyro live on YouTube, do yourself the favor and go and watch it and look at it. It's awesome stuff. But Jay, how's your week been? How's things going for you?
Yeah, it's good. We're in August. I mean, it's
hot.
It's hot. Is
it hot where you're at, Jay?
It is hot where I'm at. We're taping this right now. Are we taping? We're recording this digitally.
It's hot where I'm at. I'm 3 feet away.
It's summer in Georgia.
So that should tell you everything
that's,
right there.
That's all that tells you. Know, the air conditioning. Yeah, the other night I woke up in the middle of the night for whatever reason. It was like 2 or 3 a.m. and the air conditioner is on. You're like,
oh,
this is summertime in Georgia.
Yeah.
Like it should at least cool off to where you don't have
you don't
to
have to run it at night.
And some might say, oh yeah, just open your window.
No.
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 Turn on the fan. And like, it's already on.
It's already on. Yep.
Yeah. So it's what we do.
With the second fan also going too.
So you have to jump in the pool, have the iced coffee ready.
Yeah. Iced coffees.
Yeah.
Sponsorships, please.
Yes. And no, the kids started school. They're in first grade
yeah.
now. You're back to work.
Yep, teaching them little ones again.
So it's, other than summer, yes, I've been listening to all of these albums that we've been preparing and especially learning about Biffy. I will admit that I went to go watch at least my favorite song of this live and watched it on YouTube just to see how does it sound live. It's pretty cool.
So I'll give you a little bit of background information on Biffy Clyro and their album Puzzle. It's their fourth record. And it was a giant shift. Not a giant shift, but it was enough of a shift from what they had been releasing before, their three albums before. Now, I like those three albums. I think they're very good. However, I think this album is incredible compared to them. Just like, absolutely. You can find a few songs off those first three records that are solid, but, you know, some of them are hit or miss. Biffy Clyro, as I said before, is also from Scotland, kind of like one of my favorite bands, Big Country. And let's see, they are made up of Simon Neil, who is the singer-songwriter, and then twins James and Ben Johnston, who play drums and bass, and I just want to say, provide the very best background vocals, harmonic vocals. I mean, in some of the first original records, they sing a little bit more in them, where now on this album, they're more supporting. But like their voices all together, all three of them together, are just beautiful. I love all their voices.
Yeah, my favorite song on the album, that's the one that I saw live.
Oh,
they're all
nice.
Singing. And yeah. I was surprised. I was like, oh, they can all sing.
Yeah. So Biffy in general has released 9 albums, studio albums in total, with others including soundtracks and EPs. They've put other things together, including a double album. And they are, you know, they're just a really cool band. Now, how I came across this record is kind of interesting. It came out in June of 2007. I was in Iraq during that time, so obviously I didn't pick it up there. But when I came back, I was at, I don't remember if it was a Best Buy or another CD store or something like that. But I'm looking through just the CDs, and I come across this cover, and it's of a naked man that has, like, puzzle pieces and stuff. And he's looking like he's got his head in his hands looking sorrowful. And I'm like, what is this? So I initially picked up the album based on the cover. And then I'm reading the sticker on there, and it's like Krang's number one album of the year of 2007. I think somebody else's number one album of 2007, best album of 2007. And I'm like, what? I've never even heard of this. Like, Biffy Clyro? And I turn it over, and I, you know, I'm in a section of music where I don't know if it's rap, I don't know if it's this, I don't know if it's that. So I start reading the track list, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is definitely rock and roll. You know, like,
yes,
you know, I'm like, yeah, there's no question on that. So I bought this album.
Wow.
Not knowing anything about them, not knowing anything about the band, but solely because of the sticker advertisements that said that this was voted album of the year by so many different places.
So good job, marketing team.
Exactly. Because you got me. And unfortunately, us in America don't know much about Biffy Clyro. They've never had a charting album here. They've never had a hit anything over here. But they are absolutely massive in Europe, especially the UK. Huge. Multiple number one albums. Huge tours. I mean, like, the crowds they play for over there are giant. And it's a shame that we don't know them more over here, because they are incredibly talented. I love them to death, and I'm so glad that I've listened to them, because I've brought my kids into listening to them since they were little itty bitty babies. We've talked about this before. I didn't play like kids' music in the car or truck. You know, I played rock and roll, and there's a couple songs. You know, these songs are not on this album, but there's other songs that Biffy has done, one particularly like called Bubbles, that my kids used to love singing ever since they were like 3-4 years old. And like, it's so cool. So go and check that out if you, yeah, you know, okay, just fun stuff there. Again, this was produced by the band and also by Garth Richardson, who some people jokingly call Garth, because apparently he has a stutter. And so, you know, that's his like nickname is Garth.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
But there you go. He's produced a lot of like hard rock bands and stuff over the years. Very well-known producer.
Gotcha.
So, Jay, I'd like to know, after all this talking I've done here, what was your take on Biffy Clyro's Puzzle?
Yeah, it was interesting. So, I mean, great production right off the bat. I'm
like, yes. Okay,
this is cool. The first song, Living is a Problem Because Everything Dies. It's very kind of symphonic. Yeah. So I'm looking at the titles, title. You know, you give me the text and you say, okay, listen to these albums, and listening to it, I go, kind of starts and has one theme, and then it changes and it changes. So I go, okay, so is this the whole album? And then the next one's just kind of straight ahead rock. Yep. And then this. So, you know, just kind of first glance or first listen, it's hard rock. Let's say it's heavy. It's kind of like for 2007, I don't know. It's like nowadays I would say like a Panic at the Disco, Muse, Queens of the Stone Age, kind of somehow all fused together.
Yeah.
His voice kind of reminds me of like a Panic at the Disco.
Okay. I don't know if I'd actually agree, but I get what you're saying. So, I understand.
Some parts, I don't know, some of the melodies or some ways. So, but then as I kind of started listening to it, you know, and some of the themes are kind of dark, but also uplifting. So big choruses, and then it kind of made sense. I go, okay, kind of sounds like some other albums that we've covered.
I should tell you that there were 6 singles released from this record, and this record is about death. It is about the death of the lead singer Simon Neil's mother, Eleanor, and that name should stand out in a song later on. The chorus is literally him singing her name in the song Folding Stars.
Yeah.
It is about him coming to terms in dealing with her death. She had actually died a few years before, but he'd like had like pushed it down and wasn't processing it properly. And this whole album is about him facing grief, facing death, and overcoming it.
Nice. Interesting. Provide some context, because I tried to not look too much into the album, right? But yeah, it sounds great. I mean, lyrics, I don't get into all of them. I don't know if it's an album that I will buy. I think I'll check out more of their stuff, and I could listen to more.
I think you would actually enjoy their very next record a lot more. And it was a hard debate between this one and their next one, which is Only Revelations, I believe is what it's called. I think I'm getting that wrong, but check out their next record.
Okay. I mean, this one's still really good. I definitely like a lot of the songs.
Thanks.
Let's see. Some songs that I did like. Saturday Superhouse,
yep.
Was number 2.
Yep.
I will have to say, it kept sounding like something else.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's very much like a praise chorus, yes, by Jimmy Eat World.
Yes.
It's like, the chorus, the progression, and then it changes a little bit, mm-hmm. but it's like, this is something we've covered. So it's a cool song. So I'll play that. It's a really cool song on its own without its tied to Jimmy. If we die. Crimson and clover.
I hear the similarities there. Yeah, I get you.
Great song, though. As Dust Dances, that mm-hmm. was kind of, I would say this is definitely an honorable mention, too. It's a beautiful song. It's kind of one of the quieter songs, but it gets really loud and it gets even louder. Chord progression in the chorus kind of gives you the feels, as you would mention. So, it's a pretty song. It's nice.
It's nice.
But it's rock, too, so it's kind of got the, you know, the angst to it and things like that. Semi-mental
mm-hmm.
is really cool, although in the chorus he says sentimental.
Yeah, he does. He never says semi-mental.
You've shown a light on my life, now I'm just sentimental. That's a good one, too.
It's a simple lyric, but actually a really effective one.
Yeah, it really works. But if I have to pick one, I like Folding Stars as well.
Beautiful song. That's
beautiful guitar, but I would go, and I have a question about this one.
Okay.
I will still go with Love Has a Diameter.
Okay.
But the beginning piano vocal, I looked up a live song. They don't do that little beginning
so
part.
Is I
that
will actually explain part that of a song? Just a second.
Is that part
you
of the song?
You want me to explain it now?
Yeah.
Okay, so you remember going back to Dashboard Confessional, and we talked about the hidden track, the negative track.
Okay.
So, and I'll go ahead and just say, this is my pick for the not the best part. And it is, you know, the 2/15, the 4/15, and the 9/15. Because they technically go together. They all go together to tell that simple story of, we're on the hillside, help us, help us. From 9/15. I don't like it. I don't like, they're negative tracks. So when you're listening to them on CD, you don't hear them. You hear them, but you can't like skip to them. You have to play the track, and then the track before moving to the next one starts counting backwards.
Right.
And plays the little snippets and stuff. And it's confusing, and it throws you off a little bit. I get why they did it, because it kind of goes along with the theme of grief and death and stuff, but it's not needed. It's kind of like when we were talking about Oasis and the Swamp Song and stuff like that. It's, you know, you can deal without it. It doesn't need to be there. You're getting the point across with all the other songs that you're dealing with death and destruction here or overcoming something. You don't need these little hidden bonus things.
Well, what's even more confusing is that, so everybody out there knows that I subscribe to Spotify, and as you can see, 4/15.
Yeah, 4/15
is not up there.
Yeah, so it's added to the next track instead. They put it at the beginning of the next track, which throws people off. So because it's a negative track and it's in the middle of the album, they had to add it to the playlist when put on Spotify, Apple, all that stuff. And it doesn't make sense.
So, but like track 4 is Dust Dances. Then it says contains bonus hidden track.
Yes.
2/15. But on Spotify, they don't list.
They don't mention 4/15.
So when on first listen, a long story to get to, I really dislike the beginning of Love, at least on Spotify, Love Has a Diameter.
It's the way it is on Apple as well.
So I was really confused. I go, that just doesn't make sense. And I go, but the rest of the song is just great.
Yeah.
So I'll pick that. So this is the song that I looked up because I was really confused at the beginning. Again, so anybody looking and streaming, thank you, Ryan, for clarifying.
I hope I cleared that up.
Yeah, it's just it's bad actually on the streaming services. They need to put it maybe at the end of like Semi-Mental.
Yes, and that's so where it should be.
When you can go straight to Love Has a Diameter, because that almost ruined it as I'm trying to think of the best song, because I was like, well, I really don't like the beginning part. But then I kind of convinced myself something's wrong. So I looked up the live version, but it's kind of cool to look up the live version. That's when I realized, oh, the drummer and the bass player do sing.
And are so, very good singers.
So this song sounds great. It's got the cool chorus. I'm watching the radio, very catchy. It's got his falsetto. I'm a sucker for finding a song that you can hear a little bit of everything. I don't know. This is my theme. I hear all of his voice in this song. It's not the heaviest song, but it's got cool drums. It's got nice, clean guitar tones. It's kind of has an edge, has all the background vocals. So it just has a little bit of everything of Biffy that's what makes me like it, except for that intro. So if everybody's out there, fast forward the first like 30 seconds and then you've got gold.
That's a good pick. That's a really good pick. It is definitely on there as like one of my favorites, you know. Very good job. Anything else you want
to
add?
So then if I have to pick a bad one, blame Spotify. So I'm going to choose 9/15ths, even if it's not an official song, but on
It is. 9/15ths technically is an official song. It's the other parts that are added on. You
know? This is the one I don't understand, and I can't stand the melody of Hellride.
We're on a hell slide. Help us, help us. We're on a hell slide. We're on a hell slide. Help us, help us. We're on a hell slide.
Excuse me, hell slide.
Hell slide.
So it just, it's the repeating theme.
Yeah.
And it's dun, 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 dun. And if it means something, that's fine. It's not something I want to listen to.
I skip it. I get it on the operatic sense of things, like if you're telling the story, but it's not necessary for this album. This would be, I would say to you right now, Jeremy Dudman, this is a perfect record if that was left off of it. I would tell you, I would promise you that from start to finish, this is a perfect album, but I can't because they wanted to get a little artistic and throw that stuff in there, which is fine. That's their choice. But I think it actually brings the album down. I 100% agree with you. 9/15ths is the worst.
Yeah, it's just something. Yeah, everything that we said. I mean, even the beginning. So living is a problem. I mean, it's very operatic.
I love that.
And I mean, maybe they just kind of wanted to keep going in that theme.
So here's what's really cool about the American pressing of this disc is they actually, on Living is a Problem, they actually cut that first part and make that track one. So you can like, you can hear the bop, 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 or you can go ahead and skip to track two of the American pressing, and it comes in with the lyrics, come on, baby, do you.
Gotcha. You know? Yeah, that makes sense. It's a different song. Yeah. It's kind of like an intro. So I would like that. I was actually really blown away. The last thing to mention is Who's Got a Match is, I mean, by far, this is when I go, am I doing something wrong? Or Machines is also up there too. So that one has many more plays. Yeah. It's a good song. I think it's a Queens of the Stone Age outtake. In a way.
Which one?
Who's Got a Match.
Okay.
Very Queens-esque. I don't know. I don't think that matches the album.
Well, I would disagree.
I don't know. It sounds different. I think everything else kind of, maybe lyrically it does, but musically it just has a little different sound to it.
I think it actually...
Tones and everything, it just doesn't match.
I think it brings everything from the album, like different qualities and stuff from the album together and blends them in really well, which is, you know, kind of, I don't know. It's kind of nice. It's one of my favorite. It's like my... My kids used to sing that one too. They love singing I'm a fire and a burn, burn, burn tonight. I love that because it's got like this, the bup, 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 bup melody. And then it gets into the hard, like, it shows everything in the album.
Yeah, I think that type of melody, sorry to say, is on the annoying side to me. It's almost like we're on a hell ride. Like, it's just like the thing over and over.
No.
And there's so many other good melodies in the rest of the album that I don't get Who's Got a Match.
That's so different, though, where that one at least has some range to it. Something, come on, it's not the same as 9/15.
But the staccato, bop, 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 bop. Yeah, it's very much like, who is that song, the band Jet, and I guess 2007.
I would not compare this to Jet.
But that's what, that song, if I heard that song and I listened to this album, I go, these are two different bands.
Okay. All right, I'll concede to that, but I disagree. I still think it's a great song.
Because the other elements, too, I'll just lastly say, I keep saying that, there's a lot of Dashboard elements. And I could see maybe why you like this, because you like the Dashboard.
Yeah, I do love Dashboard.
But there's a few songs that go, this is kind of Dashboard.
Some of it is. Yeah, just, you know, I won't deny that.
Maybe some emo-esque, but anyways.
Yeah, oh, so I'll tell you right now, the very, like, Black and Sky, their first record, is very emo-ish. Emo, I would say emo math rock. Like, there's tons. Their first three records, full of weird time signatures, crazy breakdown, stuff like that. Like, it is not experimental, but, like, different. So this is their transition. Puzzle was their transition to more of a poppier mainstream sound. A lot of people thought that they would lose fans from that, but they actually gained a ton. You know, even the fan base before stuck with them because they're like, wow, this is good writing. And they have proceedingly gotten better with each album. So, you know, the next album, again, I think you should go and listen to as well. Okay. Really quickly, before I tell you about my picks, I just want to let you know that Simon Neil, he's a huge Beach Boys fan, and I know you are as well, and that's why I mention it. He has a tattoo on his chest. God only knows where I'd be without you.
Oh, very nice.
Tattooed across
good
his
taste.
Yep,
good
front
taste.
Of his chest, and that was also, God only knows, was his and his wife's first song when they got married.
Nice.
So it's really cool. His first tattoo was actually a perfect circle tattoo.
Oh,
and he's like, man, I'm not as big a fan of them now, but, you know, like, he's like, it's there.
For those out there, we've covered both of these artists on the album Argument.
And both of them brought by you.
That's true. Yeah, that's very, very mean.
But he's got tons of tattoos. Actually, all three of them do. And they even have a linking tattoo that starts on the drummer's back, goes to the bass player, and then ends on the guitarist's back. And
that's
leg
cool.
And stuff. It goes all the way across. They all link up. So it's really neat, showing, like, brotherhood of the band. So.
And they've been together, I mean, about 20 years at this point.
Yeah, since 1995 is when they formed.
Oh, yeah, so 20,
and then,
almost
of course,
30 years.
The twins have been together since birth. I couldn't help myself there. This is such a good record. It is so hard to pick the best song. I mean, I love them all. Living is a Problem is a great song. Saturday Superhouse, great song. Who's Got a Match? I don't care what you say. That's a great song. You know what? I every time I listen to this, my opinion changes. You know, from The Conversationist to Get F Stud.
Oh,
which
that
is actually a good song.
That, yeah, so the chorus saves it.
Yes.
I just don't appreciate or like the title of the song.
Yeah, they could have changed it to something else, which would have been better. But
yeah, the first lyric is, "Oh, my distorted smile."
Yeah.
Sorry.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to go with the sappy Dashboard-esque Folding Stars as the number one pick. The ode to his fallen mother who passed away sadly. It's a beautiful song. It's probably the most pop song on this album. But you know what? My family loves it. My wife loves it. My wife listens to this record because of this song. And it got her to go outside of her box of stuff that she's comfortable listening to the point where she now really enjoys a lot of Biffy Clyro songs. And I would never label my wife as someone who would enjoy music like that. But it started with Folding Stars. You know, we've talked about it, losing family members over these past couple of years, and that chorus is just, it hits right in the right spot. It's truthful. I would do anything for another minute with you because it's not getting easier. And just stopping right there, that's truth. I mean, like, as simple as that is, it's deep and beautiful. Like, oh my gosh, yep. I feel his pain when he's singing. I mean, you can hear it in his voice when he's singing. There is a live version of this that was recorded for MTV Unplugged that is absolutely gorgeous that I highly suggest people go and listen to. And if you can watch it live, the crowd that participates with the song, oh, it's beautiful. I mean, you know how we say, like, music can make you emotional. Like, you know, this will raise the hairs on your arm. Now, this album, in my opinion, is so good that, again, like I said, I will reiterate that my favorite song shifts all the time. But just right now, Folding Star still, you know, is just, it's gorgeous. And yeah, it is the most Dashboard song on this record, but it's, there's something about it. It's a great track, and that's why it was a single.
It's a good song. Yeah, it's a good song. I agree with that one. That's an honorable mention for me.
Yeah, good. I'll take
good
that.
Good tones. I mean, it sounds great. His voice is really good too. The band works really well together. I could see songs shifting because it's taken me a while to settle on a song as well. So yeah, a lot of good, strong songs.
And one last thing about Biffy Clyro, especially Simon Neil, if you can tell, I'm a big fan of him. He uses all generic Boss pedals for everything. And then like Mexican Fenders. But the other thing is you watch him live and he's a crazy man. He's absolutely gonzo nuts. I mean, he's covered in tattoos, long hair, giant beard. He looks like he's a homeless guy. He is one of the funniest and most humble, sweet, like, people I have ever seen in interviews. Like, incredibly nice, always smiling, you know, like, just super good. He seems like a super good dude, and I would love to just be friends with him. I think he could come and join us on this podcast, and the three of us would get together like old buddies, you know? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, nice. He just seems like a genuinely good dude.
So,
and looks are very... You know, you look at him, you might be like, oh my God, he's a little crazy. No, you know, he seems to be cool.
Sure. So do they ever tour the U.S.?
They have been to the United States a few times. They were here not too long ago, and I've been checking with their website routinely, and they still haven't updated any tour dates. They still have their old tour dates listed, and I'm like, dang it.
Yeah, I would see them live, so maybe I'm adding a new category. So I don't know if I would buy it.
Yeah,
maybe.
I got you.
But I'll definitely stream a lot of this, and I would definitely go see them.
Their live shows are incredible. I mean, watch them on YouTube. There's so many of them on there. That's the beauty of it. You can see over the years. It's just really cool.
Yeah, so thanks for sharing it. Again, I never knew Biffy Clyro before.
Mon the Biff.
So anybody else out there, if you've never heard of them, definitely go check out this album. Buy this one. Buy them all.
Buy them all. Stream They're worth them. It.
Yes, it's very cool. It's got something for everybody, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, it totally does. Or you can go on iTunes and get the Essential Biffy Clyro, and that's really good as well. A great place to start.
Nice. Yeah, so we'll also have this up on the Spotify playlist.
Yep, at thealbumargument.com.
And share with grandma, as Ryan likes to say.
Yeah, totally share with grandma. Grandma likes guys from Scotland, and Biffy and Big Country are from Scotland, so let's go ahead and share those with grandma.
And let us know if you have any requests coming up, right? So we we'll have some great albums coming up, but we're always open to any other suggestions. Or we haven't had a minisode recently, so
we need a minisode.
Maybe another minisode.
We got one of the albums that I've picked that's coming up was based off a suggestion from somebody that commented on our Facebook page. But I also have made a comment before that I can't in good conscience give you a record that I find to be completely horrendous and stuff like that. And so I'm going to alter what they've suggested a little bit. So they're getting the same band, just a different record. One that's almost as hated as the other one. So,
okay. So to find out, you just have to stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
And keep listening to the Album Argument.
Thank you out there. Please make sure you share, buy everything you can find on Biffy Clyro, and support that artist. Until next time, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jeremy.
Deuces, we are out.